Put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199WWC at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. It used to be $2.99. Now we're down to $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. The code, again, is 199WWC. The 199 stands for $1.99, and the WWC stands for Watch What Crappens. See how that makes sense? Use it and have fun.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com. You can find me at BsideBlog on Twitter and Instagram and Vine and, you know, wherever else. Please follow me on Twitter because I'm so close to reaching 6,000 followers. I can taste it. I know, it's so sad. This is what my life is.
That's some big news.
I know. Yay, an unspectacular number. Joining me, as always, is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com. Hi, Ronnie.
It's
how's
me.
It going? And Ronnie can be found at TrashTweetTV on Twitter and on some social networks. He's at TrashTalkTV.
Here, I'll just do this part.
Yeah, do this part.
So Twitter, Trash Tweet TV, YouTube, I do Big Brother in 2 minutes. So come watch those, youtube.com/trashtalk, TEEVEE, and Tumblr, Trash Talk TV recaps, and Vine, Ronnie Karam. Come on, find me, guys. Also Twitter, Ronnie Karam. It's really confusing, SARS.
Yeah. By the way, Ronnie's Big Brother in 2 minutes are infinitely more entertaining than the actual Big Brother, which has become so bad this season. If you watch Tuesday night's episode, I mean, you might as well just watch the singles project.
Oh, my God. Maybe we should talk about Big Brother at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, we will.
Because Frankie needs to be put in his place.
Yeah, we will talk about, we'll do some Big Brother bonus discussion later. Because we don't have too much to discuss today. But we actually have a lot of gossip. Much of it reported onto our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. So many people posting hilarious things on there. We say it every week. If you don't like the Facebook page, you're actually missing out on the total Watch What Crappens experience. It's really like, it's the podcast and then beyond. It's really very good. We have a lot of great contributors. People write funny comments. So go like that.
Yeah, it's really becoming one of the best Housewives sites because it's like a nice central place for all your gossip.
Yeah, it really is. It really, really is. We are kind of the best thing around.
Well, you guys are. I mean, whoever's posting all this crap, it's so good. Like, I just come here and read it. I don't really even go to that many sites anymore.
Yeah, it's
I still go to my good old-fashioned stupid Housewives because she hates them more than anybody I could possibly even imagine. So I love reading that. And I read our little gossip section. I love it.
Yeah, we're actually doing the biggest con. We get on here and we talk as if we're experts, and all we do is just rely on all our readers to give us.
I'm literally reading on the post to this page right now for our gossip section.
So why don't we start here? The first thing that's up, we have brand new news that Vicky Gunvalson's boyfriend Brooks Ayers cheated and slept with hookers. Shocking admissions caught on tape, according to Radar Online. Does this shock you? Is this actually shocking in development?
Yes, that's so shocking. I mean, look, it wasn't shocking before when he was just like some toothless hick, but you do not cheat on a woman who buys you tea.
Yeah, you do not. Who lets you take naked massages in Mexico? Who takes you to Andales?
Yeah. Is there a tape of this? I'm looking. Where is it?
Apparently there's an audio tape where he talked to...
Why don't we have it?
I know. I don't know why Radar hasn't released it. He likes this a prostitute named Katrina, and Brooks would have a lot of sex with her for like $300 to $400 an encounter. And also in 2006 he went into rehab for sex addiction, which is horrifying. It's
sex
like one of those
addiction.
Awful dogs that like that humps little toys.
Yeah, that's like Bueller when I don't give him enough attention. He like he looks at me out of the side of his face, and then he grabs this big stuffed bear I got him, and he like grabs it by the neck and starts like thrashing it around, and then he rakes it really slow and hard. I'm like, Jesus, Bueller. I'm sorry I'm not paying attention to you for 5 seconds. That's how Brooks is. Vicky was probably working late, and he's like, that's it. I'm humping this bear hooker on her neck.
He probably just like coils up her garden hose and sticks his dick in the middle.
So gross. I'm scouring this article for an audio link. Is there not one? What the F?
Oh, wait. Let's see. There's a click. I'm clicking onto National Enquirer. So National Enquirer apparently broke.
Well, that just went to another Radar article.
Oh, yeah. The same one, in fact.
Oh, this is so annoying. Thanks a lot, jerks.
I know.
Brooks airs.
Leave it to Radar Online to give us incomplete.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I know.
They don't even bother finishing their sentences sometimes. They'll be like, today, the Real Housewives of Orange. It's like, what the fuck? That wasn't an article. And so they get like a million clicks, jerks.
I know. Well, at least it's not like BuzzFeed, which is like, here are 7 things you never knew about Brooks Ayers. And then the first one's like, his name starts with a B. We always thought it started with an R, but it's a B. And the second one is like, he's from Alabama. That's a state.
His last name is Air, just like the air, but spelled differently.
Here's something you might not know. He's in love with Vicky Gunvalson, and she's on the show Real Houses of Orange County.
BuzzFeed secret video. Men are different than women.
By the way, this comes from a place of bitterness because I applied for a job at BuzzFeed, and they said they were going to go in a different direction. I'm like, what? How could you go in a different direction? I have a digital presence. I know how to write for the web. I'm funny. What is wrong with you? Fine, go back to your list of plans.
No. You're supposed to say, these are the 10 reasons that I disagree with your decision.
Yeah. One is that I actually knew that a cashew grew in a fruit. Two, I knew that avocados grew from a tree. Three, I knew that pineapples grew. Because, you know, they had a whole post on that, by the way. They had 20 things that grow in ways you didn't expect them to. And one of them was, yes, I read this. And one was, avocados grow from a tree. Isn't that crazy? I'm like, and one was, bananas grow from a tree and they grow upside down. It's like, congratulations. Where do you think they grew from? Like, they came out of the earth like carrots? I mean.
4 things you can use your toenail clippings for. Cleaning in between your teeth.
There was another BuzzFeed thing I looked at. It was like, it's from Little Mermaid. It was like, here's something that will make you never look at Little Mermaid the same way. And they took like a little scene and they broke down like the stills one at a time. They're like, and it basically came down to, in this scene, Ariel has like a necklace on. But in the next scene, they forgot to draw the necklace. Whoa! And I was like, did I literally just spend 2 minutes scrolling down to get to this revelation? And I know it was like tongue-in-cheek. Their headline in retrospect is tongue-in-cheek. Like, this is a different way to look at the movie. Like, no, it's not. But honestly, I can't believe it. This is a place that rejected me.
Yeah, Clickhole's the best. Making fun of BuzzFeed, I love them.
Oh, I haven't seen Clickhole.
You haven't heard of Clickhole? That's the new Onion website, and it's just basically one giant mockery of BuzzFeed. It's really, really funny.
Yeah,
you should check it out. It's like now, the list we were just making.
Well, now that I've ruined my future chances of employment at BuzzFeed,
whatever. Like, do you really want that to be your life anyway? I applied there a long time ago. I have a friend who works there. He's pretty high up there, and he does a really good job with what he's doing. I'm totally dissing his site, but I don't know. That's just not my life. Five things boys do to impress girls. Like, that's just not my
thing. Listen, I've made some listicles on bsideblog.com before. I've made them, and I've enjoyed them, and they've seen great success. But I think that they're, like, smart, funny listicles. They're not totally idiotic. Like, here's a fun fact about wood. It comes from trees.
Well, I think people are getting so fucking lazy from BuzzFeed articles anyway. I'm just going to turn Trash Talk TV into one big list. Like, yeah. The 10 stupidest things Tamara said last night.
It's a great idea because, you know, the truth is,
I think I am going to. Like, the top 5 gifts from Big Brother last night. Because who really wants to sit there and read 10 pages anymore about what happened on Big Brother? Nobody. Nobody does.
Unless you have a lot of time, like, for instance, if you're in jail, which is a segue to our next gossip item. Apollo Nida. Is that how you say his last name? Nida, Anita, whatever. Apollo.
I think it would be Naida, but I don't know. I think just because I like the musical Aida by Elton John.
Either way, his last name is now Bitch, because that's what he's turning into, because he's going to be in jail. Or he is in jail. He went to jail. He's in jail. He's behind bars. This is Phaedra's husband, Phaedra from Real Housewives of Atlanta. He is now in jail, and TMZ is reporting And by the way, Michael Cook sent these links. Thanks, Michael. Basically for the past 2 months, he's been drinking and going to strip clubs instead of hanging out with his wife and two kids, and Phaedra's pissed at him. But then the other side of the story is that Apollo was pissed at Phaedra because she didn't even go to his court appearances and went to do her book tour instead. So it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, he said publicly when he was asked if Phaedra was going to leave him, he's like, probably, because she didn't even bother showing up at court.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Which are, I mean, all that was like a much better sentence than he would ever form. It was something like, I don't know, court, no there, she.
But he's like, 7 reasons why Phaedra's gonna leave me. Apollo and I are just
like
under
me
at BuzzFeed.
The end.
Like, that was one reason.
Well, see, the way, actually, my favorite thing is when Apollo on the reunions tries to get all like adult sounding, and he's like, well, see, therein, what I say to, what's good for myself is that I go to jail, and then she goes for herself to, therefore, in myself, in his self, and regardless
really
of the respective
spaces. It's really important for me to look out for me, mine, and myself, because informally's the informationals of the confession natures of
we have to see how the process has to go through, and you know you can't say nothing until the process goes through. So it could be like this, that, or the other, but like irrespective of the regardless procedures, it's the process.
I hope that he ends up getting married to Portia, and they just talk at each other. Because could you imagine those phone conversations? It would just be like bad words and bad nasal voice.
It almost sounded like they were doing Bohemian Rhapsody right there.
I'm on a little man of informational.
But if you go, I see a little Phaedra Pax and the Scaramouche. I hope he goes to prison and gets big and buff. I mean, he's already big and buff, but I want him to come back.
He's already big and buff.
I want him to come back super buff.
I feel like he wouldn't be a bottom. What do you think? I don't think he's going to be a bitch, is what I'm saying. I think he's going to be
I feel like
a
maybe
top. I think he'll beat people up.
I feel like the first time around, he probably was a bottom. And then he became famous, and now he can't be a bottom anymore. So he's going to try to be a top. I don't know. You never know. Things happen in prison. People change.
That's true.
I'm just having visions of Prison Break and him taking his pocket and turning it inside out, and then someone could hold on to it.
Oh my god, talk about hot gay guys in prison. Rawr.
Yeah, this is
Prison Break. Whatever happened to that guy, Wentworth?
Well, it's funny that you should mention it. Well, first of all, he came out of the closet, he's officially gay. And Wentworth Miller and Dominique what's his face, Purcell, they are going to be appearing on the new Flash show on the WB, on the CW. I just read this. They're having a guest stint on the Flash, which is a spinoff of Arrow. And I read this stupid article about the fact that it's going to be their first time being on screen together since Prison Break ended in 2009. This is what my life is. I read this stupid shit. Why am I retaining this?
Well, I just Googled it, and he is so fucking cute still. Oh, my God.
And he went to Princeton. Go get him.
Oh, who cares? He's cute. I love him. I want to hug him. I want to hug his penis.
Go get it, Ronnie. Get him. You deserve someone worth Miller.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love him. Okay, I don't even care about the show. Can we cancel the show so I can keep looking at pictures? There are so many pictures of Wentworth Miller on the internet.
I know. And he, you know what the truth is? That about a year ago, he gave a very lovely speech.
Blowjob?
No.
Oh.
He may have given
a
blowjob, too. But he gave a lovely speech at the Human Rights Campaign, whatever, the HRC.
God, I believe in human rights, too.
Oh, my God.
We have so much in common. How come he never grows out his hair?
I like his hair the way it is. Ronnie, you should send him you should send him a letter and be like, here are 27 things that we have in common.
27 reasons I don't care that you probably got fat. Because I see like 2 hidden fat pictures of him.
Yeah, he's
and you know
fish.
What? Still cute. Oh
still
my god.
Cute. Still, and you know what? And I think he's like born in England. So you know his parents have British accents. And he went to Princeton. I mean, case closed. Ronnie, this is the goal. To get Ronnie with Wentworth Miller.
You guys, someone who knows Wentworth Miller, let me know if he's still fat, because it will be time to make my move. Every fat guy wants to be with someone fatter than them, I'm the one.
Now, this is a version of the Singles Project I would watch, but we can't get there just yet because we have
one more piece of gossip. I'm so sorry, you guys. I keep going off on tangents, but I don't have a DVR and Bravo's been slow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But here's the other, here's the other piece of gossip.
Oh, we've got a lot more. We've got a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. This comes from rumorfix.com, which says there are rumors that Joanna Krupa.
This is going to be painful. I don't even want to talk about this one.
Joanna Krupa and Leah Black asked to return to Real Housewives of Miami. How fun is that?
How fun is that?
You know what we're going to do with the rest of the cast? We're going to tear it down.
What do you think of that?
I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, I still, even though Miami had a terrible season last year, I don't know. I always feel like it's a city that deserves its own Housewives franchise. And I think, you know, I mean, I think we can get it right. I think we can do it. I say yes.
All right, give it another try, guys.
I mean, Peter says, like, you know, he wanted to be in the cast again this year, but, like, you know, he's an artist, and so, like, he has to go into the street and beat up cabs, you know?
Oh, well, you know, they're going to have another season of The Real Housewives of Miami, but, you know, Peter's not sure if he wants to do it, so they're waiting to see if Peter wants to do it, and, you know, if Peter does it, then we'll all do it. So we're just waiting to see what Peter's going to say.
Oh, well, you know, like, we're waiting for the show to go forward, but, like, it all depends on Peter because, like, he has sent out, he made, like, a demo, you know, because he likes to do rap. That's, like, his artistry. And he sent it to, to Diddy. And so, like, he's just waiting for Diddy, like, because if Diddy's like, yeah, come on, and, like, let's rap and stuff together, then they're going to do that. And there will be no Real Housewives of Miami. But, like, if not, then yes, we'll go forward.
Oh, Peter. I miss her. I wish I could just get all the evicted housewives together and just let us watch them.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, like, you could watch me because I'm with Peter right now. He's playing that game Crazy Taxi. He likes it because it, like, lets him, like, live out his revenge fantasies against the taxi cabs, you know?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, Peter, he liked Angry Birds because he likes throwing dead birds at things. But when there wasn't cabs for him to throw dead birds at, he stopped playing the game, you know? So now he's playing Crazy Taxi because he can run the taxis into each other. Crazy Miami Taxis.
Yes. Oh, well, you know, Peter, he loves playing Crazy Miami Taxi because there's a bunch of taxis being driven by flamingos. So it's like a very exciting game.
You know, homeless people should be thankful to Peter because, you know, when he punches them in the face, he films them and he puts them on YouTube. And you know, it's hard for people who don't have video cameras to go on the YouTube. So, you know, at the end of the day, he's doing a favor to people who are homeless by putting them on YouTube, you know? They could become stars from that.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, you know when he beat the – when he punched a homeless person in the penis, like, we all thought that was, like, assault. But what I realized is that he was just very confused. He thought he was playing Grand Theft Auto 5, but he wasn't. And I was like, Peter, you have to remember what's a video game and what's reality. And he didn't realize, and he's an artist, and that's just the way it is. That's all.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, we were going to do a new season of Real Housewives of Miami, but he was playing the Grand Theft Auto, and he crashed into a wall, and then he remembered about his brother, and he got really upset, and so he stopped and wrote a rap song about it. So now he's rapping.
Yeah,
and that's it.
Because, you know, he's an artist, you know? Because, like, oh, well, you know, Peter...
he's an artist.
Oh, well, you know, Peter, he's an artist, and he likes to rap about, like, you know, Frankie and his mother and, like, punching cab.
You know, I never knew that there was a rhyme with Frankie, but yeah, there is.
There is.
You know? Because he's an artist.
Yeah, like, Peter, he has a great song called No More Hanky Panky Until I See Frankie. It's a really good rap.
I told him, as your mother, I'd like to give you a challenge. So make a rhyme with orange. And he did it.
Yeah.
His new song is called Porange. It's really good.
Yeah.
All the, like, kids are bopping their heads.
It's like, it's taking over Miami. Like, I would look out people, you know. Oh, well, you know, people. He doesn't know.
You know, there's no rhyme with orange, but there's a rhyme with naranja.
You know, oh, well, you know, Pitbull is like Mr. Worldwide, but, oh, well, you know, Peter is like Mr. County. So, like, you know, he's moving up.
If you don't have a rhyme with orange, this is why no one wants to learn English, you know?
Oh, well, you know, okay. Oh, well, so... you know, rhyming. He's an artist. Yes, they better bring her back just so we can keep doing our joke. I'm sorry to anyone who's listening for the first time, has no idea what we're doing. That was Alexia Echeverros from Real Housewives of Miami talking about her son Peter. Play golf cops.
Oh, God. All right. So I don't know whether I believe that or not. Only because I've just, like, what's the huge mystery about whether the Real Housewives of Miami is coming back? Like, it's been a while. I think there would have been something announced, but I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
But you know, what else does Bravo have, you know?
Well, they've got a lot of new shit. And I would like to take a moment to anybody, probably no one at Bravo listens to this, but if you do, come on, you guys. It's 2014. Get your shit together. Get your shows online. I couldn't even fucking download for money your shows today, okay? Idiots. Yeah. Like, the whole world is online now, okay? Figure it out. Get the Singles Project online. Get Below Deck online. Not 3 days after they air. Not some bullshit on Hulu where even if you're a premium member, you have to enter your Time Warner account number. That's bullshit. Get it together, Bravo. You're the only fucking network who doesn't have it together. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's ridiculous. You know, you miss a show, and they don't really marathon their shows very well. You think some shows they do. But if it's a fledgling show, they don't put support behind it, and I don't know understand why. Like, it's the easiest thing to do. They should get their people on to, you know, watch what happens. They need to get like rerun these
it's
shows.
It's just stupid.
The day.
It's like, oh, let's get, you know, let's at, look. We know that Andy's going to ask pointless, stupid, nonsensical question and bobble his head around to anybody who's on there. You might as well give people who need the attention on your own network on there. I don't need to be seeing Kelly Ripa. I mean, that bitch is even in fucking washing machine commercials now. I don't need any more Kelly Ripa, okay?
Yeah.
Like, bring some people from the shows you actually want me to watch on.
Yeah, I agree. No, Bravo, I'm sorry, Bravo, but when it comes to the dealing with 2014, you guys are very much so behind.
And you're trying too hard for the youth vote. You're obviously run by a bunch of 45 to 55, which there's nothing wrong with that, year old people who don't understand technology because A, you're not online, B, you have a whole show that you're dedicating to the I could just see that meeting where they're like, we need to have something that involves Twitter, you guys, because yeah. That's what kids do. Okay, they're on Twitter. Maybe they can go on Facebook and it'll be a show where people are like on Twitter. You know what I mean? But like young people. And young people like sex. So maybe something with like young people having sex, but like on Twitter, you guys, because Twitter's huge.
Yeah, so this is perfect what you're talking about because
trying
it does,
too hard, Meemaw.
It does bring us to the Singles Project, which I watched last night for the first time. You were not able to watch the episode.
Well, I actually watched it yesterday for the first time too, but I watched the previous episode, and this is why I'm ranting about Bravo, because I could not watch it today for the podcast because it's not online anywhere yet.
Yeah, and you know, and I have to say, you know, that's okay because there's really, in terms of content, I can tell you with certainty, Ronnie, that really nothing happened. Okay, I can talk about the characters kind of, but like, this show is really, it's totally unremarkable. You know, Bravo's had, like, way worse shows in terms of hateability. I mean, like, Vanderpump Rules really shows deplorable people, but it's fun. This show, it's just a bunch of generic people dating. And, like, you just don't care. I personally don't care. Maybe it's because I just joined in the middle. But if I'm joining in the middle, you have to make us want to care about these people's lives. They're just, like, a bunch of very unremarkable people going on dates.
Yeah, it kind of is that. Okay, so you know how when you're on Grindr, it's like really hot guys.
Yeah.
I mean, at least where we live.
Yeah.
When you go on Grindr, it's like all these models and all these fucking beautiful people. I had to delete Grindr because I was like, I'm never going to have sex again, you know?
Yeah.
But then you go on OkCupid and you're like, oh, there are still homely people who have sex, right?
Yeah.
It's like when you first go to Burbank. Like when you live in West Hollywood and then you go to IKEA in Burbank and you're like, oh my God, there's fat people in LA. They're just not in my neighborhood kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what this show is like. This show is like going from Grindr to OkCupid. <You're> like, oh. It's like, it's true. Oh, I see. These people all have IKEA furniture.
Yeah, it's like, you know, there's one pretty girl on there. I think her name is Erica, the black girl. She's very pretty. She seems very smart. She's cool. There's this dentist guy who's like awkward, the black dentist guy. He's very awkward and strange. And in the episode that you didn't see, Ronnie, he, last week he asked this girl out and then she basically said no. So this week he sent her flowers and kind of like sent her car.
Oh,
for
is
her.
That like the... Is that the, like, bow-tie wearing guy?
Yeah. And it was just, like, awkward. I was like, this is not a match made.
How is Urkel influencing someone trying to have a public sex life on TV? Like,
exactly.
I just don't understand where this guy's even coming from. Well, come on, man.
Here's the inherent flaw of the show. You know, first of all, it's the dating scenarios are so stage in terms of who these people find. You know, Ronnie, it's funny. So this is a little behind the scenes action. Ronnie and I were texting about which shows to watch this week, and I suggested Below Deck. And Ronnie's response was, "Isn't that just like a setup sitcom or whatever?" I think this show is significantly way more set up and scripted than.
Well, my thing about Below Deck isn't that it's set up. Everything on Bravo is set up. We know that. It's not like a shock. My thing with Below Deck is that it's already kind of a sitcom. Like, it's already trying to be funny. To me, it's like, oh, let's cast a girl who's just like Shelley Long on Cheers, and then let's cast like a bimbo from the Golden, you know.
I don't know. I think there's but I would have to say.
To me, it's like, I wouldn't sit around and talk about it. Like, maybe it's funny to watch, but I don't have anything to say about it after.
I actually think I have become a convert to Below Deck, and I actually do think there's stuff to talk about. Definitely way more than this show, though. This show, Singles Project.
I just feel like, look, I'm a poor person, but even I know that I don't talk about people below my status. I'm not talking about maids, okay? I'm not going to sit here with you and talk about what the maids are doing. Well, they need to be cleaning and not doing anything.
Let me tell you something, Ronnie. These people who work on the yacht, they're above my status, so I can talk about them.
I know, but you know what? They make a lot more money than I'll probably ever make, but the point is they're maids. And it's not about money. They're making beds for a living and cleaning floors. They're below us. Okay, that's the end. I'm gonna hold on to my false sense of what am I trying to say? Not entitlement, but better than them.
I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think
superiority.
Yes,
my false sense of superiority. I'm gonna hold on to that. No maids for me. Sorry. Fine.
Well, I guess we won't be discussing Below Deck, but I do think that it is actually a show that can inspire discussion. But the truth is this, getting back to Singles Project, is that it's just, these people are, okay, there's so many things. My brain is swirling in so many directions. First of all, in terms of the concept of the show, where the audience gets to give tips or whatever, I get what Bravo's going for. I don't think this is the way, I don't think this is the proper way to do it.
They're copying incorrectly.
Yeah, I also didn't understand where the audience's influence came in, because they keep saying in the commercials, like, we go on dates and you tell us how we're doing and what to do next, da da da. And nowhere in this episode did I seem to see a significant area where they're like, okay, why don't you say this on the date, or why don't you be more like this, why don't you do this. Instead, they just went on another date. Like, I didn't really see any feedback except for the little polls on the bottom that was like, how's so and so doing, how's so and so. And I'm like, it's just like, I didn't really get a sense of interaction beyond.
Well, in the episode, it's going on in real time, obviously, right? So it is kind of cool, because it's one of the first shows I think that we've had where it's so real time that they're actually reading what we're saying about them as the show's going on, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
because like the gay guy was like, oh, you know, it is weird seeing myself on TV and how I talk, and that's really weird. So it's kind of cool watching people first see all of their human flaws and then watch them become plastic right in front of your face.
Because
normally it takes a full season and they have to go back and watch it and they come back as different people. Right. And now you're watching them turn into complete plastic idiots.
Well, this is where here's the thing, because the show breaks the fourth wall big time. You know, people on the show talk about, like, oh yeah, I saw your episode last week, or I've been watching. It's like they acknowledge that they're on a show and that it's an ongoing show. What I don't understand is, we should be watching these people, like, at the top of the episode, they're watching their dates and they're watching the feedback and they're getting the feedback and they're seeing what they did and did wrong. Like, we should be watching them watching themselves. We should be seeing the learning process. And then they go off and they do their thing, but we're not getting that at all. I mean, it's just like the whole conceit of it, I don't think is coming through in a very strong or interesting way. I actually think this is something that would be really good with like a studio audience. I think that instead it's just they read some tweets during the show and then they just go on their dates, and it's not a particularly interesting show that doesn't give any insights into the dating experience or what you do wrong, whatever. It's, you know, it's just the general stuff, like the gay guy's sister being like, oh my god, you need to like raise your bar, you're dating the wrong guys. Like, okay, this is not groundbreaking stuff. And that gay guy, by the way, very cute, but he's really a piece of work.
Well, I didn't see this one. I made a thing for my the Trash Talk TV Tumblr that says "Orange is the New Gay" because he is so orange. I was like, "Oh my god, what is happening?" Like, we know there's no sun in New York. Stop pretending. Just be pale, okay? Yeah. Like, vampires are still in. Just be pale. It's better than orange. Until they perfect the spray tan, just stop it because you look like a crayon. He looks like a burnt sienna crayon.
Yeah,
I think he's like pretty cute and stuff. I like his personality. I think that in the episode that I saw, which is the week before, first the interaction was there because the audience had to choose what date that this guy was going to go on.
Okay.
And he actually went on a date with a hot black guy who turned out to be a quote unquote artist who took pictures of like semen stained sheets and shit. Yeah, it was really frightening. I'm looking. Orange is the New Gay. I'm looking at my notes. Well, Orange is the New... Why is he a piece of work? What were you going to
say? He just seems like very shallow, at least from what we can see on TV. I will say this. They showed pictures of him when he was younger, and he has definitely improved the way he looks. Good for him on that front. But there was just something about him that just... I don't know. Compared to other Bravo gays, he's like, you know, a knight in shining armor. But I don't know. He seems sort of like the typical... gay you'd want to avoid if you ran across him at the Abbey.
Little faggito burrito. Well, I think so far what I think is super funny about the gay storyline is this: what they're showing, I think, and from what I know from my friends, is still how straight people date, pretty much. Like, you know, you meet someone online or whatever, and you go out and you date. And I know that there's, like, I know that you date, for example. Like, I know that you've talked about date, well, not anymore, but back when you were off the market or whatever. I know that you date, but, like, for gay people, it's a little different. Like, we fuck mostly. Like, I mean, if you want to, and I don't want to stereotype or offend anybody, but, like, let's face it. I mean, I don't know if that's just this town or all gay people or just my life, but it seems like my sex life and my dating life are kind of separate. Like, if I'm dating somebody, it's because I want to marry them. It's not because I necessarily even want to have sex with them, because as a gay guy, I mean... guys are just pigs. You know, you can fuck a guy at the Whole Foods buffet, or at least that you meet one. You can meet him there. You can't fuck him there. But, you know, like, not to share too much, but it's gross. Like, this gay guy's like, well, I don't know how to date. And I'm like, yeah, because you're a gay guy. We don't never learn how to date. We just, you know, for us, dating is like buying someone a drink in the steam room at Crunch before you fuck them.
Well,
like,
there are a few things that happen, I think, with gay dating and development of gayness. You know, first of all, a lot of gay guys don't come out of the closet until they're in their 20s, so they miss out in the formative teen years of learning how to date people.
Totally.
And so that kind of screws things up. And then it's guys. It's like men. And, you know, men do love having sex. And so it's a combination of not really knowing the rules and finding other people who are, like, willing to just, like, get right in the sack and, like, no big deal. So that's true. That does happen a lot. But there is, like, gay dating, for sure there is. And
I know there is. I'm just saying it's funny watching the gay guy because he's on a straight show. So
yes.
The gay way of dating is just so different. I mean, they need to have a show where
I don't think it's that different. I think the thing is, though, because gay dating is like normal dating. It's totally normal. But the difference is that there are people who haven't been exposed to the gay dating, you know, or they have their own crazy issues inside of them from being in the closet that has prevented them from doing anything but, like, hooking up. So it sounds like in his case, that's what he's gone through.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's just interesting to watch because he's, like, the least experienced one. So I'm rooting for him, you know, because I'm like, yeah, you go. But part of me is like, they need a Grindr challenge. You know, like, I would rather see this guy answering his door and being like, you're fat and your Grindr picture, you weren't fat and you had a giant one. Like,
but, you know,
Photoshop a Grindr picture and expect to get away with it, buddy. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's a storyline.
The other thing I think is very annoying about this show is that it feels so remarkably fake. I did see the clip of that gay guy being courted. He met the black guy and another person, and he had to choose between the two of them. And I saw that clip, and of course the black guy turns out to be someone who, like, paints semen or takes pictures of semen, or whatever. Because of course Bravo found this guy and was like, put him into the mix. Just as on last night's show, this nebbishy, wealthy, well off. A jeweler hit on the gay guy, and the gay guy's like, no, thanks. You know, it's like, or that there are, like, the other guy who is a lawyer who's now has, like, a boutique of some sort, he goes on a date last night with this woman who is, like, a bodybuilder slash polygamist. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like these people are so intentional. It doesn't feel authentic. So I'm not invested in the process, you know? And the best part.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much of it is just them needing to take the time for it to become more of a normal thing where they forget the cameras are there. The one I saw, the blonde girl, who you would think would have it the easiest because she's like a pretty white blonde girl who's thin. Yeah. And, you know, she would have it the easiest, but she's kind of a weirdo. Yeah. And she talks funny and everyone in America hates her voice. So she's paranoid about that, which is really funny. And she has this friend who is kind of like her Ethel, I guess.
Yeah.
And they went on this double date. And of course, she wants to end up with the doctor and her friend to end up with the artist. But it turns out that the artist is really cool.
Yeah.
And so she kind of ends up with the artist, but the artist looks just like Ethel. And it was the most awkward thing because I'm like, well, basically, you just need to fuck your friend. Because that's Ethel without any makeup.
Well, the funny thing was that date, that actually was the most sincere moment of last night's show because they went on a date, a kind of disgusting date where they were like painting and then they got paint all over their faces and started kissing. I'm like, I would never, if I have paint on my lips, I'm like, get me to a bathroom, I'm gonna get poisoned, you know?
But, yeah, that's toxic.
They that seemed authentic. It really did. That one seemed authentic, but the rest of it just seemed like bullshit. And the whole thing, I don't know, it just seems stupid. It seems like it seems botched. It does seem like something that was conceived by people who have no idea about the social media generation.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I am pretty interested, though. I mean, granted, I did it. I watched it while I was doing dishes and, you know, like tooling around the house. But I thought it was pretty fun. And I also would like to say thank you for an actual ethnically diverse cast that doesn't feel staged. Like, thank you for a show that actually mixes all these cultures and races to me that doesn't seem weird. Like, there's not a token black person, and there's or there's not a token white person.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Everyone's normal and the same, just like in real life. It's not like a typical Bravo show where it's like, oh, here's a minority, don't get mad at us. Like, but there's actually like gorgeous black people on this show who don't act like stereotypes. And also, even the gay guy, like, thank you for, like, I know that he's like a flaming burrito, but still, he's like more of a normal gay guy than I'm
he's
used
like
to.
Someone I could see myself being.
And I appreciate that. You know, thank you. Thank you for making a fucking effort, Bravo. Yeah. All right, keep it up and get your shows online because I'm not fucking waiting 5 days to torrent this bullshit.
The one thing that was funny from last night's show is there's this woman, a doctor. What's her name? Her name's like Tahib or something like that. She seems to be Middle Eastern of some sort. You know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, Tab. I just call her Tab. She's kind of like the desperate one.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though she's beautiful and shouldn't be desperate, but she's like needy and desperate.
Exactly. So the one funny thing was she went on a date with this attractive Russian guy. And then she got into a panic and she goes and visits her sister in D.C. And she's like, I've been lying about something. And I feel like I have to come forward with it. She goes, you know, I've been telling people that I'm 34, but the reality is I'm 41. I'm like, girl, if you think that anyone for any second thought you were 34, you are hilarious.
Actually, I would believe 34, 35. She looks good.
Oh, my God. When I saw her, I thought, oh, this woman's like 42, 43.
Oh, my God. You're better
beautiful.
Than me.
This is not the tracked way that she's beautiful, but, like, you know, like, you can't fool someone. Like, that's, like, you are your age. It's obvious.
I don't think she looks 40, but you know what? And I'm saying this as someone, rounding out my 30s. All right. Mm-hmm. So don't get offended over there. I don't know why I'm so worried about offending people today, but, this isn't an ageist thing to say, but it explains the desperation because that is something that happens when you're in your like 40s, when people start, freaking out that their like eggs are going to drop out and they're never going to have babies and blah blah blah, and they start getting that weird desperation thing, like it's like a defensive desperation where it's like, well, why don't I have a guy? Like, she was at a party in the episode I saw, that blonde girl's birthday party, and the other beautiful black lady, the like gorgeous one, was dating this Italian guy, like a total phony, and they showed a clip of him going up to Tabs first, like the week before, and saying, hey, I saw you on the TV, you are beautiful. And then she turned him down, and next thing, he's dating this other girl who's on TV. He's obviously a star fucker, right? Which I'm sure everybody they're dating is a star fucker. There's cameras following
them. They're all like cast,
Yeah. So she goes up to him while he's with his new date. And she's like, you know, I don't appreciate you being fake. And you were flirting with me. And then you on TV, you try to play it off like you were just trying to be nice. And that's bullshit. Like, you were obviously flirting with me. I mean, it's just so awkward and desperate. I'm like, you're pissing on a man that's not even yours, honey. It's like, yeah. It's a fire hydrant from a different neighborhood. You're never even going to walk around this block again. Move on. Let it go.
Yeah, I feel bad for her. It makes me feel bad for women, to be honest. I was like, oh, this poor lady. She's 41, and she's, like, successful and beautiful, and here she is feeling crappy about herself because she wants to have a family.
It's
and
fucking it's like, amazing. Like, she's beautiful. I mean, look, I'm only speaking on looks here, obviously, but, I mean, if that girl has trouble, what is the point of ever going to the gym? Honestly. Like, why even get out of bed and put on your eyelashes that girl's having?
Well, you know, it's complicated. For women, it's very, very complicated, and I feel bad for them. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is. Oh, well, that's gay men.
I like the kid from Staten Island. I thought he's kind of gay. And I liked it. The episode I saw, he went to, like, a family barbecue in Staten Island, and they're like, oh, well, let's hook him up with someone, you know? And it's like a sister of a friend of a thing. And he's like, this is how it is in Staten Island, which is so true. Mm. And, I was just cracking up because that's how I remember it being. It's like, oh, you live in Staten Island? Well, fuck this guy. He lives in Staten Island, too. It's like, that's not, you know, why does it have to be like that? It's like, we both live in a tiny little island that smells like trash. Let's bone.
Listen, I'm sure you got a lot of it. Again, like, being gay, you know, there's one thing. There are a lot of girls out there that love to play matchmaker. And they have also multiple gay friends that they love all their gay friends, and they just assume that their gay friends will be perfect matches. And one of my friends, she was like, oh my God, Ben, I have to set you up with this guy. He is like so perfect for you. He's like my best friend at work. He's so funny. He's so clever. And she introduces me to this guy who was, he's like 5'3", like pudgy and like antisocial. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, this actually had nothing to do with me. You didn't think about, like, what I'm interested in or what I like or what I'm attracted to. You just were like, I like both of you guys and you're both gay and therefore you guys should date.
I mean, I've been so offended on so many occasions because I take it as, like, someone putting up a mirror to myself and I just never like what I see. They're like, here's Dom DeLuise. Like, maybe you'll like him. I'm like, no. Like, no. Just because we both like pastry too much does not mean I want to marry him. All right. Did you ever see that Sex in the City where Charlotte tried to fix up her gay friends? She tried to fix up Sarah Jessica Parker's gay friend with her gay friend. And they met each other and they're like, ew, I could do better. He's like, I have bigger arms than him. Why would I settle? You know, so funny. So true. Yes. But this one, it's like kind of a chunky girl. You know, she was a cute girl, I thought. And the guy's like, no, ma, I don't like her. And she's like, what, just because she's not beautiful? I'm like, oh, my God, please don't say she's not beautiful on TV just because she's, like, 10 pounds overweight. That's not cool because she actually was beautiful. She's like, well, not everyone's going to be beautiful. You just got to sometimes look on the inside. I'm like, ugh. There's a billion fucking people in the world. I'm not looking on the inside, you know? Like, there's enough time to look on the inside. You know, you have to fuck them, too. Get out of here, mother. Get out of my sex life.
You know what? I have to say, and at the risk of sounding, like, totally insufferable or cocky, this makes me so glad that I'm not dating anymore.
You know, I don't even know. It kind of makes me want to date in a way because they make it look so fun and stress-free. You know, someone's like, I love you. And they're like, but we're just dating. I'm dating 20 people. I'm like, who even dates many people at one time with STDs?
I know.
They are. Does every town not have a billboard on every corner with, like, you know, a celebrity complaining about AIDS?
They actually don't. And there was a big article in LA Weekly about AIDS, about how in, like areas like Compton or, like, inner city areas, there aren't those billboards here. So here where Ronnie and I live in Hollywood, West Hollywood, there are billboards everywhere that are like, wrap it up, or like, why take the chance? Or there's Blair Underwood being like, HIV
Blair Underwood, yeah. Well, that's like the most awkward thing ever. Like, I wonder if he thought about that when his agent told him he'd be doing a PSA. It's like, your face is going to be on giant billboards with the word AIDS on it. Have fun, Blair.
But they don't have, but the truth is this, they don't have those billboards in other areas like Compton or whatever. And when they, some organizations tried to put them up, like two black men sort of like holding hands and said like, get tested, it creates such an uproar because there's a huge amount of homophobia in those communities, and as a result, there's actually there's not as much education about how you get HIV or STDs, and there's also people, some people believe it's like a government conspiracy. So when you do people not have these billboards? People don't, and it really actually affects public health.
Well, I know that I am really good on my STDs because not only the billboards, but like you come out of a gay bar here and there's a truck outside to test you for AIDS.
Yeah.
It's like, come into our trailer and get an AIDS test before you fuck him. It's like, oh my God, never mind. I'm going to the milkshake place instead.
The only STD I have is like Subway, tacos, and donuts. Those are my STDs.
But you know that milkshake place? I mean, the best thing that they could have in front of them is that AIDS place, is that AIDS van. It's because it's all the people who are no longer going to fuck tonight are like, fuck it, I'll have a milkshake. Because it's worked for me. I mean, that's like the smartest marketing. You got to hand it to millions of milkshakes in West Hollywood. By the way, if anybody listens to this show and sees me out, please come say hello to me, because that happened to me 2 weeks ago, and those two people were so fucking sweet, and it made me feel like Julia Roberts. My friends couldn't believe it. They were like, you're... people actually recognized you from your stupid show. I'm like, that's right, bitches.
That's awesome. I'm jealous.
That was amazing. And they're like, doesn't this happen? I was like, no, this never fucking happens. Of course not.
Oh.
Please make it happen more. Make a man's dream come true, you guys. I'm afraid of AIDS trucks, for Christ's sake. Give me some happiness.
And if you happen to be like hot and sexy and have like maybe some six-pack abs, definitely go up to Ronnie, because Ronnie deserves hot. A good man.
It was
man.
A girl and a boy, and they were both hot. I love you both.
All right.
So anyway, that's enough of Singles Project, right? But, I mean, overall, I think it's like a super interesting idea, but it needs some tweaking.
It needs an overhaul. It doesn't need tweaking, in my mind. It's like, you know, sure, diverse cast, that's nice, but they're all sorts of... they're kind of like boring, too. And, you know, it's just I don't care. I'm not... there's nothing this is where the producers have to work harder. They have to make me care about these people.
Yeah, I don't care all that much at first, but most shows I watch, I don't give a shit until, like, I mean, the season finale of The Leftovers, I was like, oh, this show's pretty decent. I had to sit there through 10 hours of that bullshit. I mean, until then, I was like, this is the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. But then it's like Taylor Swift songs. You know how they're always terrible the first time you hear them, but then you can't stop singing them a week later because they played them 18 million times? I feel like that with Bravo shows.
Mm-hmm.
I like them if I just watch them enough.
I feel like, so. I think that Singles Project would have benefited actually with sort of an American Idol kind of situation where you have a few weeks of you're sort of watching them date, watching these people dating and their lives. And then we switch over to kind of like the live, not live, but you know, the real-time situation. So now we are a little bit more invested in these characters. We know a little bit more what's going on with them. And then we can start making, we see where their pitfalls are, and then we can start making the changes for them.
All right, so let's not make this a regular show for us, but let's check in on it towards the end and see how much it's changed. And also, I suggest an idea. Instead of like picking one show to cover, because obviously, I just completely disregarded that huge vote we had 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And when everyone chose Below Deck, and then I was like, no, I hate it.
Yeah.
So sorry, but this isn't America. It's what.
And I want to say also, by the way, for those who are to stand up for Below Deck some more, I watched it last week with our friend Michelle Collins. And we had such a fun time watching it, which I'm mentioning not to brag that we watched it together, but to show that it is a show that you really can watch and like poke fun of and make commentary about and, you know, have a good time with.
Well, you could do that watching the fucking Gaza Strip story on the news, too. It doesn't mean I want to watch it every damn day or week. But I was just going to suggest, maybe since there's so many new kinds of shows coming out on Bravo, they're doing that, like, let's throw a bunch of gay shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just try a new one. Well, every week or every 2 weeks, because it's fun talking about a new show.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well,
And also, is this the downfall of Housewives? Which I guess we could move on to Jersey if you want, but is this the downfall of Housewives? Because that show is pretty much unwatchable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I was
and there's shocked. No other Housewives show on, and nothing's coming on until Beverly Hills.
Yeah, this is actually awkward. we've not had this few Housewives franchises on the air, aka just one, in a few years. And I thought this episode, I thought was gonna be so good. This was, you know, the plea deal episode. This was probably the worst episode of the season for me.
This casting was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. Bravo, they cast terrible community theater actors as the new Housewives. All three of them are just fucking awful. They're awful human beings. They're awful actresses. And they're too young. Well, they're not too young, but they're on a different level. Teresa's not dealing with them. She's not going to be dragged into that. Dina's certainly not going to be dragged into any of their shenanigans. So they're just left alone, and they're too inept to carry a show, and it's just not working. It's like Therese, even Melissa looks mature compared to those idiots. I mean, it's like the three regulars sit around and stare at the three newbies like they're just crazy, and they're not going to get involved, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Bravo has to realize that when they do these wholesale changes of the cast, when they fire more than like two people, the shows really do suffer. I mean, we saw it with New York. We saw, even though I love the New York cast, you know, the ratings really went down. New Jersey's ratings have gone down. Bravo sometimes needs to just let things go and just let things play out. But, you know, I mean,
well,
Jersey
this year, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, they had to make a change because last year was getting tedious, but this was a total misstep. One of many by Bravo lately.
Well, also what Bravo keeps doing with Jersey is they keep doing these consecutive seasons because shit goes down so much in Jersey that they're like, oh, we got to keep the cameras rolling. Like in this case, they finished last season. They were like, oh, no, let's keep the cameras rolling because Joe's going to be put in prison any second, and we need to get that. But first of all, Teresa does not need to be on TV when she's about to go to jail. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't have time to be, like, flipping tables. She's going to be going to jail. Like,
she needs
has
to be
to
doing
do.
Something productive, like getting a vasectomy.
She needs to be cleaning up trash on the side of the freeway.
She needs to get a vasectomy.
They don't need to be doing that. And then to cast all these Jerry Springer wannabes while all of this is going on, it's stupid.
I know.
So the biggest first scene we had today was Amber with her gigantic plastic eyelashes trying to fake, calling Teresa after reading a story on Radar Online about the sentencing or whatever, or their what is it? Their plea deal, like where you, what is it? What is that called? What am I trying to say? Is it a plea?
Yeah, a plea. The Radar Online reports that they're. A plea
she's like,
was
is
offered.
This true, Teresa? Teresa's like, what are you crying?
Yeah,
and she's fake crying, trying to get gossip, and literally says, "I know what she's going through because I had cancer." Oh my god!
It is honestly, that was honestly the best scene in the entire episode. It was the funniest scene because it was so ridiculous. I mean, she's crying. She so wants to be in with Teresa. It's sad. I love that even Teresa's like, "Is she crying? What?"
Yeah, and Gia's sitting there laughing at this cuckoo bird. She's like, "Who is that? And why are they crying?" It's ridiculous. And it's not real. It's all her fake, stupid tears and her talking. She said she talked about her fucking cancer another 20 times. Stop. Stop with your fucking cancer. Stop. All right. I'm so sick of cancer. Is probably even sick of hearing itself.
The sad thing is that this scene was like the only scene I can really remember from the episode. Like I sat there, I watched it. I was sober. I watched it at like 7 p.m. I wasn't tired. And it was just all a bunch of, like, serious music and, like, Gia crying and Teresa crying and Joe being like, hey, you know, what can you do?
And then the other scenes were they all got together to talk about some fundraiser at Dina's. And, you know, Amber's over there trying to start shit with the twins and talking to Teresa in a whisper about should we talk about Santa sleeping with what's his... I mean, I don't even give a shit to even finish a sentence. I don't care. My favorite part was when the lawyer read Teresa's statement. Because that was some funny shit.
Yeah.
Because his version of it was so intelligent. It's like, I throw myself upon the court's mercy for my misdeeds.
Yes.
And, you know, all this shit. And you know, you know, like, Teresa's original transcript is just like, the, who cares? I don't know. The, you know, yeah, do that. Someone put this together.
Yeah. So, she's
congratulations,
like,
ghost legal writer.
Yeah, she's probably like, I'm very sorry for the things that I did and stuff. And, you know, even though I'm innocent, I want to make this go away for my kids, because kids is everything and family is everything, and family sticks together and your sisters have to stick together. And, you know, that's just what it is. So, you know, that's it.
Zoom, zoom, beep, beep, car, car. Don't forget to buy my cannoli kits.
Hey, that's what's her face?
I'm like saying she's ripping it off.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, don't forget to buy my important cannoli, my cannoli contraption.
By the way, Teresa's...
But it's not called a kit. I did steal it from you.
Teresa's cookbook, what was her first one? Was it like Fabulicious or whatever? Whatever her first one was, it's available as an ebook from the Los Angeles Public Library, and I'm tempted to download it and cook some things from it and see how it all tastes.
Put some spaghetti into a pot. Make the water go until it's hot. Oh my God, this is poetry!
Open the can of Chef Boyardee, then pour it out onto a plate.
The best thing about Jersey this week was an interview that Jim Marchese, whatever, gave to AfterBuzz TV. Went on AfterBuzz.
Oh, what happened? What did he say?
Spilled all the tea. And thank you to everybody who's been tweeting us and stuff. I didn't actually listen to it because, like, let's face it, I don't want to give that much to this. But I did go onto the internet and read all about everything that he said. So here's the bullet points.
Okay.
Bobby is some billionaire, which I think we talked about already, right?
Bobby, the first responder?
Yes. Bobby is not really, like, he volunteers for the fire people. Why? I can't speak today.
Fire people.
You know what I'm trying to say. those people who put out fires. Okay,
the fire people, yes.
The first respondents. And so he may volunteer, but his family actually owns this huge car dealership chain, and he's worth like $500 million.
Wow.
And he auditioned for the show and was trying to date somebody else who he thought was going to be on the show that didn't get cast on the show. Mm-hmm. And he actually met, which one is he dating, Teresa or the other idiot?
I think it's Nicole.
Whichever idiot twin he's dating.
Yeah.
He actually met her at the casting call, and they came up with the idea to date.
Oh, so gosh.
That's not only fake, that is way. I mean, that shit was faked even from the audition stages. So that's pretty lame. So don't pay them any mind. So that's why he's acting like a little bitch and trying to start housewife. You know, he's trying to be a housewife, basically,
mm-hmm.
Which is why he's trying to start all this fight. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Is this their first reality TV experience? Jim said it's his first, but Amber actually appeared on Restaurant Stakeout. LOL.
That's funny.
He said she was contacted in February. They didn't tell us the name of the show or any of the details, which I don't believe.
I believe that.
You know that she was like Facebook manipulating that shit just like Melissa did to get on the show.
That's true.
Because she's friends with Melissa, so I don't believe that bullshit. What else here? He's saying, of course, he got a bad edit. He's pissed off that the show is making him look bad.
No, he's just a cocky asshole.
He says, I'm not going to say I blame editing or I don't blame editing, and then goes on to blame editing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. That's not anything too juicy. The audience didn't see Joe Gorga swinging his finger in my face and calling me names and calling me an asshole and a jerk off. Actually, we did see that. And you know why he was doing that? Because you're an asshole and a jerk off.
Exactly.
Fucking rat.
Exactly.
All I kept thinking is, am I going to allow my four children to see me act like a complete animal on TV like the Joes did at a christening?
Yes. You have. You have, because you're on the show.
The same guys in Newark are prosecuting your brother-in-law. He kept saying, what's an ass? What's a USA? He's very difficult. Okay, I'll skip that part. Sorry, I'm skipping through this. This is very special to Amber, this experience. It's her dream. He's okay with being painted as the villain. Then he goes into the whole hair pulling incident, and he says, I don't know if you know this, and everyone jokes with my wife and says, oh, it's the cancer card. But my wife had 7 surgeries, complete reconstruction of her back and chest. Bobby knew full well that physical confrontations such as the one that occurred in his home, for you and I, we could get a bruise. For her, she could have ripped some of the reconstruction. That's a serious situation. Yeah, then maybe your wife shouldn't fucking go into parties and start screaming and yelling and fighting with
people. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not like Amber was just like this like innocent Little Red Riding Hood who got attacked by the wolf.
Yeah. So it's basically a really long article of that. Excuses and bullshit and pointing to other people. You know, the men on these shows, especially on Jersey, you're not fucking housewives. Back off. I'm sick of watching these men. And that kind of includes you too, Rosie. I mean, even Rosie's coming in here with her fucking false storylines. Get the fuck off my TV, man. I'm not here to watch this shit for you. I want Teresa to flip a table at somebody.
Hey, Rosie is there. You know what? Rosie's there to be like a sniper, you know? She's on a rooftop far away, and then just when you least expect it, she can come and punch you in the face, just like a sniper.
Yeah, so anyway, that was kind of the most interesting thing. And the other interesting thing is this bullshit story that Santa slept with Walter Buns' husband, because you know that's bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that's something we didn't talk about. Wait, no, we did talk about that.
Yeah, because that was the last episode.
Yeah, no. Apparently that's going to come out when, I guess, Jim, I guess in the previews for the rest of the season, Jim throws that in one of the twins' faces. And then you have Jacqueline coming back.
She's a little bitch.
Jacqueline's coming back. And
you know it's bad if they're having to call Jacqueline in. Oh, my God.
I know, exactly. And, I mean, honestly, this episode, I feel like half the episode was watching them, like, shoveling snow and clearing ice out of the way. Like, literally, I can't remember anything that happened. Anything.
I only wrote 2 things. Plastic eyelash crying and
I think Melania
Teresa's statement.
Melania ate a raw onion at one point, which was I felt it was like the universe getting her back.
I love Melania. Everybody back off from Melania, all right? She's probably gonna be president one day.
She's awful. She's
I love her. Everyone's like, they need to beat that kid. No, you let that kid march to the beat of her own drummer. You know, I say this to you, Melania. Shake it off. Shake it off. Right. Any of those haters.
She is never, ever, ever going to be a productive member of society. She is never, ever, ever going to be a human being. You sit in my salad and my salad goes in my mouth. She will never, ever, ever be sanitary.
Stop. I love her. Okay, so what else? We've got Melbourne.
Okay, actually, I want to do a gossip break because there are 2 things that we forgot to mention. One is that E! Online had a poll of like the greatest Real Housewife of all time. It was as of last week. It was down to Caroline Manzo and Shannon Bedore. And thanks to
how Michael does that Horn, happen? By the way,
I don't know.
But how?
Thanks to Michael Horn who alerted us. That Shannon won. Shannon is one E! Online's best housewife ever poll, and I'm very happy to
hear that. Whoa, good for her.
David.
Oh, my God. You know Tamara. Oh, my God. You know Tamara just, like, shit a little tiny rabbit pellet out of her butt.
Oh, I love it. David, they're trying to take us down.
David, you've never voted for me, David. All I've wanted, David, is for you to vote for me, David.
Is it so wrong that I want to vote? I want to be best housewife? Sure. I don't know. I can't explain it. That's just not me. But that's just what I do. I like to win. Okay.
Look, kids, your dad didn't vote for me on the E! Online poll because he doesn't have any manners because he wasn't raised with money like me, kid. David, you know it's true, David. I don't have a drinking problem.
David,
pour me a drink.
David, thanks for making me look like a bitch on E! Online.
So we never actually, we took off last week. So we didn't talk about the end of that reunion, but Was that the same week that they had the husbands on, or was that the week before? Because that Terry Dubrow and David thing was hilarious. And when they were like, oh, yeah, David, you know, David just flirts. You know, he's a big flirt. He flirts with everybody. He's so cute. All he has to do is look at you, and he's flirting with you, basically. And Shanna's just getting more and more mad. She's like, that's disrespectful, you know, what they said, what he said, what he did. He said, they're flirting. He's flirting. Everybody's flirting. It's very disrespectful, David.
I don't really remember anything from last week's episode of the last week's reunion. I remember there was one point where Heather said something like, you were saying things, and Shannon said something like, well, don't bring up what I said if you can't say what they are. And that's all I can remember.
Yeah, I love that she mostly stayed calm, but it's funny because she's like, I'm staying calm. I'm very zen. You know, we went on that trip and I'm very zen now. Yeah. And then you just slowly watch her start to lose it.
Damn
it. Oh, that's disrespectful.
David. So the other piece of gossip that I have concerns actually Shaw's The Sunset. So they, you know that Lily is out. There's a new girl that's in. And one of our listeners, one of my Facebook friends, she sent me all sorts of gossip because she used to work with this new
Lily, she is not part of cast.
I don't know if I can hang out with people like this anymore.
So... like, Lily Galici's, like, not part of the cast anymore, so, like, I'm just gonna hang out with my glam squad, and you guys just do what you have to do. That's just how it's gonna be.
I have friends. Just because I pay them doesn't mean they're not my friends.
Catch ya on the flip side, Fluffer Nutter Butter Cutter Butter Cup Pepper.
So anyway... two things. First of all, about a month ago, I talked about how I stumbled onto a taping of Shaw's The Sunset outside my gym, and I saw Reza, and they had signs up everywhere being like, warning, you're about to be on camera for Shaw's The Sunset. If you're not comfortable with it, leave. And I didn't really stick around because I just there was nothing I really wanted to see. But so they released a trailer for the season, and it looks like Asa had some crazy protest downstairs from my gym. And I'm so mad I didn't stay for that. That would have been hilarious to watch.
Oh, that was the bombing of the Gaza Strip. I saw that. I passed that on my little scooter. I didn't notice Asa there, though.
It was like a bunch of women in like burkas. So, so there's a new girl. Her name is Asifa or Asifa or whatever. So these are the messages I got from my friend. He said, there's a new girl this season, and she's someone I worked with briefly. She was fired last year. She says, she was fired basically because she's a diva. Personally, I never had a problem with her. She was a marketing manager, and I happened to work closely with that group, even though I'm not in marketing. And we always chatted here and there. I knew she knew people from the show, but I never saw her being on it. I think she's really striking, too. But anyway, she says other people couldn't stand her. My closest friend at the job literally couldn't stand the sight of her. She thought she was such a bitch and a snob. After she was let go, I learned that she was pretty much very much a diva, which doesn't really fly with the company culture. Overall, the company I work for is really chill, full of nice, friendly people, and I guess she thought she deserved to be treated special, and she lasted about 3 months there. It's going to be quite interesting watching how she is. And she said that... this girl said that a lot of people on the show, a lot of the Shaws, have quote-unquote fake money and are not as rich as they act on the show. No surprise there.
Well, no kidding. They're all living off their parents who are living in studio apartments in Little Armenia. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and she goes, I don't know whether or not she comes from money, but I know that her ex-hubby, current boyfriend, Bobby, is pretty well off. She drives two different uber-expensive cars. And when I read that, I thought she meant like she drives Ubers, but she drives two different super expensive cars and kicks it high end with name brand clothing, which is surprising for a marketing manager. Anyway, that's the gossip.
Yeah, I'm still wondering how Asa has a house in Venice and
with like $50,000 worth of like diamonds hidden under her like doorstep.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I'm trying to pull up a picture of this new girl. Let me see.
She's pretty.
I can't tell the difference. Is that terrible? I can't. She looks like Lily from Far Away.
She does. From Far Away, she actually does. Yeah.
She looks like, literally, she looks like Lily to me.
Yeah, but up close, she's not like that. Anyway, should we move
Reza! On? Reza! Look, it's Reza!
How fun is
I
that?
I still have a mustache.
MJ.
I'm still big and hairy. I can't believe this show's already coming back. Didn't this just end? Why do I have to watch this again?
That's so Persian. Well, Ronnie, let me give you some friendly advice, okay? If you don't like it, you don't have to watch it. You don't have to badger anyone with it, okay?
Don't look at me, darling. Don't look at me, darling. Stop looking at me, then.
You know what I told Ronnie? You know what I told Ronnie Caron when he was saying he didn't want to watch Shards of Sunset? I said, well, don't watch it then. And that's what I told him.
You know what that show's probably about? Vagina. That show's probably about a vagina.
It's probably about a vagina. I thought it was, let me give you some friendly advice, okay? I don't know if you've ever had a tennis court, but I do. And let me give you some friendly advice. You don't wear pumps on them, okay?
How disrespectful. You may not have a tennis court.
I think you suddenly became Scottish.
I can do it, Ronnie, for like five. I can do it for a couple of lines, and then I turn into Shrek.
Ronnie, let me give you some friendly advice, okay? If you're gonna be talking, if you're gonna talk like a Melbourne girl, you can't talk like you're from Scotland, okay?
You're a cunt.
Scotland.
That's what I have to say to that. You're a cunt.
She says a cunt.
What is up with these Melbourne women? They are so catty. First of all, Gina is my favorite.
Gina.
She is so great.
She is.
Gina is the one who looks like Stockard Channing from Greece, but with like a ton of makeup and 80s Dallas hair. And she does not give a fuck.
She doesn't.
And she's not mean. She's nice to everybody. She is totally sociable.
She's the Lisa Vanderpump of Australia.
She actually works. She's witty. She is fun. What the fuck? Everybody hates her for no reason. They keep trying to pin something on her, and they've got nothing. I mean, okay, she played tennis in high heels. So what?
Listen, I would be pissed, too, if someone made me wait 2 hours, then another hour. I would be pissed, but I think there are better ways to handle it. Like, and in fact, when Gina's like...
Yeah, just say, why were you 2 hours late? It's rude to make us wait. And if she said I had to work, then say, just next time, you know what, just text us. But she's saying that she did. She's like, well, you know, there was communication. Y'all knew. And they're like, no, we didn't. She's like, well, then somehow the communication got lost. So I think it's like one of those tricky Housewives producer tricks where she's like,
obviously,
I can film that day, but I can't be there until 2. And they're like, okay. And they don't tell anybody else and get her in trouble. Because
obviously. Because when the blonde one, what was the blonde one's name again?
Janet.
Janet was like, you know,
I feel 22 in.
She was like, you know, we're all having a lovely time here, and you know, there's a lot of love going around. But you know, I also have something that I've just been awfully cranky lately. I'm very cranky, and I have to talk to you about it. And Gina's like, well, is there something that we can talk about over coffee? And she's like, no, I think it because it involves the other girls. But it's like, no, actually, you should have taken it over coffee because it's like, it's totally fine to say, you know, you made me wait a long time. And it was disrespectful to my time, and I didn't like it. And that's a fine thing to call someone out for. And then Gina is fine for saying, well, you know, there was communication, and I don't know, I told you I wouldn't be there. You know, that's fine. And if they had over coffee, it wouldn't have been a blow up, it would have been fine. But instead, all these bitches pounce on her, led by Andrea, who is the worst of them all. She's the one who always says, looks like Lydia's trying to give a little bit of friendly advice to Gina over there. Wonder if she's going to hear it, fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, she's the one who was like, you know, now that we're at this party, you know, would you like some advice from a friend?
It's honestly like my favorite thing. I'm just trying to give some advice. Listen, you know, just as one friend to another, just some advice that you come off very hard sometimes. You know, I'm not going to take my eyes off you. I'm standing directly across the table from you. You know, I'm busier. I guarantee you I'm busier than you are. I'm way busier. You may be a barrister.
Oh, I'm sure you're busy, but, you know, I'm busier. Bitch, you're busy making lists for your, like, five nannies to do shit for you, you stupid whore. What are you, too busy trying to look like Gina Davis to do anything else? Shut up. You don't do anything. You shut up.
And Gina's literally a lawyer, or a barrister, and she's literally a lawyer. I mean, how could this woman...
You are not busier than her. You need to sit down. Your body doesn't even fit into that dress. You're married to a plastic surgeon, for Christ's sake. Get that body fixed. Get that face fixed. You're a walking advertisement. You're like a real estate person who pays for a bus bench and then runs into it with his car. Like, what's the fucking point?
And her insults continue to be like the worst because, you know, her jokes are so bad and her insults, she's like, well, I know out of the two of us, I know who I'd rather be. It's like, well, congratulations, you are that person that you'd rather be. It's like,
yeah. Well, you know what Gina's probably doing right now? Having big hair.
Hey, you know what Gina's probably doing right now? She's probably walking somewhere.
Hi, you know what Gina does when she has to go to the bathroom? She goes to the bathroom.
You know what? if Gina had to write a book, you know what that book would be about? It would be about a subject matter that she'd decide upon.
You know, it would be funny if Gina actually took the bus one time, because then she'd get on the bus.
Hey, Gina, how about instead of wearing so much makeup, you wear, like, a little bit less makeup?
You know what Gina would do right now if she was at dinner? She'd probably eat something with her fork.
Hey, Gina, nice plate. What are you going to do, eat off of it? Hey, Gina. Hey, Gina, how'd you like that yoga? Would you do get on your hands and knees? Like a dog, like a downward dog?
Did the sun salute you back when you saluted it in yoga, Gina?
Hey, Gina, why don't you look up at the sky? What do you see there? You see a sun? You see a sun? Yeah, you would see a sun, because the day.
Hey, you know, Gina would probably object to this because she's a barrister.
Hey, Gina, have fun sitting in your chair, because you know what you're doing in it? You're just sitting on it.
That bitch is seriously one of the dumbest people on TV.
And then I love the part where she's like, you know, Gina, you sent a very hostile email to me and Lydia. You basically sent us a cease and desist. And Gina's like, no, I did not send a cease and desist. I said there's a cease and desist going about, and I wanted to make you aware of it, so that way you don't say anything and get drawn into it.
What was the cease and desist? I missed that part, because that was at the very end, and we had to do that. I wasn't finished yet, sorry.
Oh,
What was the letter?
Oh, well, as part of this argument, Andrea then got mad, because Gina had apparently sent, like, a letter in legalese that was about a client, a totally different client, and basically, the client was sending a cease and desist about something else. It's like, don't talk about this, otherwise the client's going to send a cease and desist. And so Gina sent, CC'd it to Lydia and Andrea, which admittedly could be misinterpreted to think that you are getting a cease and desist. But she was like, I'm sending it to you so you know, don't say anything, because there's a cease and desist going around. But they were like, it was a veiled
threat.
Those
idiots. And of course they make it something to fight about. I mean, they're making the dumbest things to fight about. That's the funniest thing about the show. Like, this whole thing, everything they hate Gina about is so stupid. They're like, well, you said my book was going to be about vagina. Why would you say that? It's so disrespectful. Like,
yeah.
What else
was
your book?
It was tongue-in-cheek. And then Gina was like that. But then Lydia's like, you know, at first I had a good laugh about it. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, no. It's about, she's being mean. She's being mean right now.
Oh my God. First of all, what else have you ever used in your life to get ahead but your vagina? It really wouldn't be too huge of a shock had your book been about that.
Yeah.
Okay? The biggest shock is that you have a book at all.
You are the same woman who in the episode was like, oh, it feels good to have a yoga block in between my knees. I haven't had a brick between my knees before.
And who, like, jokes casually about possibly fucking your stepson on TV.
Yeah. Well, the best part is that the way Gina defended herself was like, "No, I never said it was about vaginas. I just assumed it'd be about something trivial and stupid, you know. So I just made a joke."
Yeah, like, and she did say that, but it's just taken so out of context. And then Janet feels stupid, and she's like, "Well, you know, of course I said those things, but it was out of spite. Didn't think they were going to say it."
Thanks a lot, Andrea. She's like, "Oh,
yeah."
But the best part is Janet's like, "Well, I don't know about you ladies, but I feel much better now. I don't feel cranky anymore." And the rest of them are just like yelling at Gina.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, because you lost your only ally on the show. Those other bitches don't care about you. Like, the only one who was nice to you was Gina, and she's not going to give you the time of day now, you dumb bitch.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You're just as shallow as people half your age.
Yeah. And Gina had a bunch of good one-liners, too, in the interviews, which, of course, I didn't write down. But she runs circles around these women in terms of intelligence.
She does, and I love that she just refuses to get pulled into it, you know?
Yeah.
And even with the crazy one, the one who's like, I'm gorgeous! My husband's a rock star!
Shine, shine, shine!
Shine, shine, shine! Yeah, even with that one, she's like, I'm sorry, darling, you know, the way we got in a fight. You know, my problem wasn't with you, it was with the spiritual world. That's my favorite thing that she told her. It's like, I wasn't mad at you. You know, it's the spirits. It has nothing to do with you. Like, you go, Gina.
Oh, gosh. I like also.
I love Gina. I hope that that she gets back together with that American and he lives in Beverly Hills and they bring her ass here. Because
Her partner.
Her partner. I like when she's like, I don't need a man. She's like, well, neither do I. She's like, a lot of people do. What do you mean neither do you? Of course you do, you idiot. All you've ever done is live off a man your entire life. Try getting a damn job. That, if I was Gina, that would just be my argument to everything. I'd just be like, get a job. Just get a job. Call me when you have a fucking job.
Oh, gosh. No, it was definitely... This is the best episode of the season, I thought.
Yeah, Melbourne is really, really a fun episode. And when she showed up on that tennis court with matching high heels, I died.
Yeah. I mean, she shouldn't be wearing high heels on a tennis court. I get that.
Yeah, but even if she just said, look, you can't wear those on the tennis court because it's going to ruin it. Just don't wear them, honey. Sorry. But yeah, she didn't. She's like, what? You're wearing high heels? Don't you have... I don't want you to sue me.
Yeah, I mean, she should have said something. I mean, that's when she's like, have you ever owned a
you don't know what it's like to have a tennis court.
You have a tennis court.
You know, I know that you don't. Tennis
court that I'm working to pay off. That's why I'm so
congratulations
busy.
On marrying a rich person. You've really outdone yourself of how you spend your husband's money, you dumb hoe.
Yeah. Well, I liked when Gina, when they're all yelling at Gina, she just took out her makeup, started doing her makeup.
Oh, that was the other thing. She's like, well, you know, Gina went into my bathroom and did a makeup for 2 hours, and then she came out. There's Tanner on the walls. There's stuff all over the tissue box. I don't have a maid there. Who's supposed to clean it up?
It's like you clean it up.
How about stop bragging about money when you can't afford a maid in your vacation home?
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, dumb bitch.
How about that? Well, in the end, Gina did the classic Lisa Vanderpump and packed up early and left, leaving Chica behind. And then everyone was like, I can't believe Gina left. She's so disrespectful. I think, and then Lydia's like saying to Andrew, like, oh, you know what? You won. She backed away. I saw her eyes. She backed away.
God, how do people even deal with women like that? Like, how do strong women deal with idiots like that?
Yeah. Andrea was really mean, too, by the way. Like, she wasn't just giving a list of grievances.
Oh, yeah.
She was
this week
saying
she got
nasty
mean.
Things. She was saying really, really nasty things.
Yeah, she got pretty nasty this week. It was embarrassing for her. But she's also the only one that got fired.
Really?
Bye.
She got fired from Melbourne?
Season 2's on now, I think.
Oh, wow.
Over there. But, yeah, she's not coming back.
I'm surprised they fired
her. Bye, bitch.
She's the biggest, like, villain of them all. I'm surprised they got rid of her. You'd think they get rid of Chica.
Cheeker. Well, they always need that one who doesn't really do anything, but like they need someone to be a little chunkier, I think, for the rest of us to feel okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Cheeker. Chica's like the Caroline Manzo.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, I like all you ladies.
It's like ladies. We need someone a little overweight with bad hair to make, you know, regular housewives feel okay.
Yeah.
And by regular housewives, I mean me, of course.
All right, so... I think right now, why don't we move to Big Brother? If you guys don't watch Big Brother, then consider this podcast over. But if you do watch
Big Brother... Yeah, bye, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
But if you do
Big Brother.
Watch Big Brother, let's talk about one of the worst seasons of all time.
Oh, thank you. So you finally got on board the train. Because every time I complain about this season, you're like, the season's amazing!
Well, it was for a while. And then, honestly, the past month, it just really deteriorated. And now, I mean, honestly, Tuesday's episode was really one of the worst I've ever seen. Like, I actually fast-forwarded through the veto competition went on and on and on and on. And it was so annoying. I had to fast-forward.
We have some super funny recappers right now on Trash Talk doing the written recaps of that. They're really funny people, and they are barely showing up to work. I mean, last night he was like, no. He's like, I fell asleep watching it. Sorry. So I'm drunk, like 2 a.m. writing this recap of the show. And I was like, this should not be inflicted on anybody. I mean, I feel bad. I'm putting it on the recappers. But I did it, damn it, because there's still enough to hate in it for me to have fun. And his name is Frankie Grande.
Oh, my God. Frank is awful. He's so cocky. He's such an asshole.
That's
the only thing... keeping me
an
in this
asshole.
Season. The only thing keeping me in this season is waiting to see if someone can get him out of the house.
So I had mentioned on the last time that he's got this tick, and I'd never finished my sentence, and someone on Twitter was asking me about it. So just to get back to that really quick, just to finish my sentence from 2 weeks ago. So his tick is he's so needy and insecure that he's always moving back and forth. He's always twirling around, patting on his... I mean, watching him pat on his makeup is actually scary because... I think that he was just doing that to his face like a crazy person at a bus stop, and his sister just handed him some foundation so he would look normal. Because it just looks like a crazy tick. It's like, ugh, like there's flies around his face. I don't know if he's hearing voices. He's obviously got mental issues. He doesn't remember things that he's saying. But then on the other hand, he seems pretty intelligent, and he seems to be reading situations pretty well.
No, he's very smart. I'm not going to take that away from him. He's smart. He's capable. He can do competitions very well.
And he's a beast in competitions.
Yeah.
He's killing it as far as gameplay.
He's a very good player. I mean, like, if he won, I would begrudgingly have to be like, yeah, well, he deserved it.
But I think he's like going to win.
He seems like an awful, awful person. He's, you know, and he's also very condescending to everyone. The way he talks about things, he does it in that measured Heather Dubrow kind of way.
Yes.
And I think what makes it even worse is watching him put on this cute, like, I'm just Frankie persona whenever he's cognizant of the cameras being on him. When he's aware, when it's a live show, he does this little pose. When he's, like, hosting something, he does a pose. But he otherwise is actually very arrogant. And not just about his wins, just the way he handles himself, the way he speaks to other people. It's very unpleasant to watch.
I mean, he says things like, well, you know, I mean, being around you guys is fun because I don't get to hang around normal people anymore. You know, like, I was robbed of that life. I don't just get to go into a Starbucks and nobody knows who I am. You know, it's just weird because everybody I know is a celebrity. So, like, dealing with all of you guys, I mean, it was really hard to fit in because I didn't know how to act. You know, and, you know, like, I'll go to a club sometimes and they'll ask for my ID. And I'm like, really? Because you look like Maria Conchita Alonso, like, currently. OK, it's not like you look 15. Get over yourself, bitch. But he's like, you know, when I go to bars and they card me, I'll just be like, Google me, you know, just Google me and you'll see me. And then they do. And they are like apologizing, you know. It's like, he's just so gross. And it's so sad because he's like, you meet so many of him, of his type in somewhere like Los Angeles. There's so many desperate hangers-on who have no shred of talent and just kiss ass and try and get up the ladder that way. And it's sad. And I read today that he gets paid more than anybody else to be there. It's actually like a contract for him, like a show contract.
Ugh. Yeah, because, you know, I mean, in a weird way, he deserves it because he is bringing a lot of attention to the show because of his sister. I mean, that's a huge marketing ploy.
But, well, I don't buy that. I mean, I read that online. Like, everybody's like, oh, CBS is just doing this to plug Ariana Grande. But Ariana Grande on Twitter has like 17. I guess I should check this before I say that, but. I think she has like 17 million followers. I mean, she doesn't need Big Brother.
No, Big Brother's not really
her people.
No, it's more like she's going to drive people to Big Brother. That's why they're paying him.
I thought people were. Oh, she's got 18.4 million followers. Jesus Christ.
They
were trying to plug her.
He is getting more of a bad edit now, and I'm hopeful that this Big Brother Rewind business will actually dethrone him. Excuse me.
It's a bad edit. They're actually showing some things that he really has said.
That's what I mean,
I mean, it's nowhere compared to what he's actually doing in there. And, like, he keeps grabbing the guy's dicks and, like, trying to finger the guy. The other day someone said he was talking to Derek and putting cream on his butthole, and Derek was like, are you fingering yourself right now? And then Frankie went and made everyone dinner without washing his hands.
Ew.
Like, it's just shit like that. He's just cringe. He's pure fucking cringe, showing up in like little short hot pants with a glitter tie and like twirling around with like 5 pounds of makeup on. It's like, it's not even being gay, it's like you're just a fucking cartoon.
It's the face of evil.
It's just the face of cringe. It's just because he seems like he's so insecure that part of me feels for him because I'm like, oh, he cares what people think. Like, no matter what he says, he's a human being. Like, he cares what people think about him. And I know that he's going to read stuff or hear stuff about him and it'll hurt his feelings. And I don't always feel like that with the Big Brother contestant. So it's weird with him because I'm like, oh, he's a good player. And he's you can tell that he's got some kind of feelings. But then, you know, like the thing with Zach, like he not only betrays Zach. I mean, that's part of the game. But to be calling Zach fat and unfuckable and ugly and all this stuff behind his back. But then he knows the camera, you know, he knows that we like Zach. So he's like, I love Zach. Like, well, they were sure to put in that clip last night of I love Zach so much.
That's the thing is that I think that's what makes Frankie so hateable is that he's a catty gay, which would be totally fine if he was just an out and out catty gay. But that he puts on a facade that he's so fake in front of the camera, that there's like this lack of authenticity. And there is a streak of self-loathing in there that it's unpleasant. And like people don't react well to that behavior and those sort of people. And I think that's really why, you know, people don't like Frankie, because if he were just himself, if he were just like a catty bitch who killed in these competitions and manipulated everyone, people would love him. They would love him. He'd be the greatest. But instead,
well, he's built up this persona of a performer. Like, he's got this huge personality, and you're like, oh, this guy's a performer. You know, he's going to be funny. And he's just not funny. He has no sense of humor. He's never said one thing that's made me laugh. Did you read that thing that was going around this week that was his Facebook post that someone took and turned it, like, I think Tamara Tattles or someone turned it into, like, a big article? And it's a really long post, and it's kind of like a B-side blog plane recap where he's going to Africa to build schools or whatever. Gosh. And it's his experience going through the airport and just hating everybody because they're all inept and they're all stupid. And he couldn't decide what kind of luggage to take, his Louis or his... You know, it's like you're going to build schools in Africa and you're worried about your fucking leather luggage, you know. And then he's like, oh, you know how hard it is dealing with someone working at Chili's to go? They're so stupid and fat. And then I saw, you know, this group of Jews about to get on a plane. I don't really read the news, but I just wanted to say, don't go there, Jews. Don't do it. I think things are bad there. And, you know, everyone's so inept and moronic. And he's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But he's not funny. He's just an awful, spoiled, horrible human being.
There's a way to write that sort of post, you know, because like you said, it's like it is very B-side blog. Like I've written a million of those things where you are walking through an airport and I'm like, basically in my blog post, I'm being condescending to everyone. But at the same time, you're sort of like you're inhabiting a character when you're writing these things in a strange way.
Well, signs it as like tranny, you know,
but the thing is, you don't say, oh, the person behind the counter is so fat or whatever. You know, you have to use like some sort of like wit to describe them because it kind of like it doesn't make it sound mean. It just sort of sounds observational. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, when I write that sort of shit, I try to ultimately layer in a lot of self-deprecation so that, like, even though I'm taking out, like, this stupid, like, lady with her whatever that I'm standing behind, whatever, and her super floral patterns, ultimately, though, I'm the jackass.
It's humor.
And I'm the one, and it's like, it's not her fault, it's me. And,
well, and you know, also you're
writing jokes. That's the underlying vibe, you know? But when you're not delicate in those situations with the way you write, if you just sort of like come on with a sledgehammer and just assume that being cutting is the same as being witty or clever with your words, you just wind up being a jackass, and that's not entertaining.
Yeah, he's just awful, especially the fat stuff. Like, you're not allowed to call somebody fat when you're skinny. Like, that's just not. I mean, even when you're fat, it's pretty tasteless. But
yeah.
Like some skinny guy calling. I mean, he was calling Zach fat. He was like, well, I liked him before I got fat. I am seeing... Oh, someone did post this article on our page. And it is worth reading part of it. The first plane sucked my ass badly, but the second was Sasha Fierce. Oh, my God.
Yeah. People, if you want to read better plane recaps, go to my blog, bsideblog.com, and do a search for my... I would call them flogs, flight blogs.
If I was going to be roughing it in Africa, I could choose between the Dolce & Gabbana or the Versace skinny jeans that look similar, though Lord knows not identical. Please.
See, I know what he's going for. I actually know what he's going for there. He's trying.
How did they manage to find all the most incompetent people in the world, move them all to NYC, employ them all at JFK, and assign them all to work for Delta? Kudos to whoever figured that one out. We got to the Delta International check-in, and there was a long line to go. Absolutely nowhere. There is nothing at the end of this line that everyone's standing in. Now, even though I have several hours before my plane departs, Disney World has taught me how to circumgate unnecessary lines. So I did. I pushed past my way... past all the people to the front of the line with no purpose. One guy did say, hey, you just cut in front of everyone in the line, to which I responded, yeah, I did, to ask why we're all in it. Did that thought ever occur to you? Well, no. Okay, well, I'm going to ask if this is where we're supposed to be, and if we are, you can go in front of me. How's that? God, I hate people encounter number one.
See,
I mean, that's like... It's like paragraphs and paragraphs of this.
It's really not, you know, and the thing is what you started to read right there, that passage, it started off okay. You know, he's like, ugh, can you, like, I think it's fine to make a joke, like, it seems like they pulled all the most, you know, inept people in the world and put them here in this airport. Okay, that's like a fine joke, observation to make, whatever. And then standing in line, being in Disneyland has taught me how to deal with lines. That's fine too. And then he says he basically cuts the line. But then the way he responds, his interaction with the person, it's like, wait, no, this isn't funny anymore. Now you're being an asshole. Everyone's getting,
and also,
this is like
didn't
Ben's
even
literary
happen.
Side coming out. My
also, it didn't
analysis.
Even happen. It's like, that never happened. Like, someone probably said you cut, and he just ignored it. I'm so sure he turned around and gave them sass. And, oh, he told them off so much that the guy was so ashamed to say anything. I'm sure.
Yeah.
He's just an asshole. And... So I storm across the street, again knocking over Jews and fire trucks, until I see the line that I assume I'm supposed to be in, and I walk directly to the front, Courtney in tow. I'm so pissed because I've been at the airport for over an hour, and I should be in the lounge having tea right now. So I walk up to the person next in line, lovely mousy girl thing, and I say, hi, I'm sorry, but I was waiting in line like forever across the street, and it ended up being the wrong line, and so Yvonne told me that I should come over here and go to the front of the line. Is that okay? And she replied, yeah, at least you're going to make your flight. I was here for 4 hours yesterday in the wrong line. Part of me felt bad, but the dominant part of me understood that that's why she's a stupid bitch and why I'm getting on my plane and she isn't, and I got in front of her. Like,
ugh. You know, he's
just
terrible.
A disgusting, sad, cringy person, and I wish that I could say soon he's going to be gone, but he's not going to be gone. He's not going to be gone. And you know, they're all stupid in there. Caleb's an idiot. Cody's an idiot. It's painful. And Caleb and Frankie are talking about what it's going to be like when they go on Survivor.
Oh,
and
please.
All these other reality shows that they're going to be doing now that they're going to be stars.
Ugh.
Make them stop. Make it stop.
This is depressing me. I think we have to end the podcast.
It's getting too dark, huh?
Yes.
Well, okay, then just let's give some final predictions. Tonight is the rewind or the reset or whatever, where basically Frankie's entire reign is erased and they have to start this whole week over. What do you think is going to happen?
I feel like because this is a terrible season, it's going to wind up like Frankie winning again and Victoria's going to go home.
I agree. Totally. Frankie is either going to win head of household or veto. He's not going to lose two competitions in a row against these idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, who else is there?
Yeah.
And they'll probably have it be like a plié competition or some shit to keep him in there.
A glitter
comp. Like, who can put his ankle behind his head? You win! Congratulations!
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. Remember to come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can follow me at B-Side Blog on Twitter and Instagram and Pinterest and wherever else. YouTube, even, although I don't really post too much there. Vine. I'm at bsideblog.com, and Ronnie is at trashtalktv.com, where he's doing Big Brother in 2 minutes. Super funny, and if you go to that website, you can see all the links to all of his social media, which is bountiful and hilarious. That's basically it. Just why don't you give us a nice little review on iTunes too while we're at it. And I don't know. Well, thanks Ronnie. It's been fun chatting.
Yeah, that was a good one. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.